Hi, everyone. The Bless You Boys podcast is back, episode number 3. I'm your host, Brandon Day. I'm a writer and editor at blessyouboys.com, which is your home for Detroit baseball on the SB Nation platform. With me, as always, my co-host, Ashley McLennan, the esteemed author, staff writer, editor of both Bless You Boys and also D-Rays Bay, where she is slowly taking over.
I'm not planning on killing anybody. Like, that seems to be the implication that I'm going to, like, take Danny out one day. But no, not yet.
Everybody else though was fair game apparently. Yeah, it just seemed like every couple weeks you just keep kind of creeping up the board there.
I'm just gonna add myself to every masthead on SB Nation, and that's just where we'll be.
There we go. Just run the whole show.
Exactly.
I mean, we've all seen too much Game of Thrones. You know, it's hard not to want to usurp and conquer. after all that, the urge is so strong.
If SB Nation was Westeros, then I guess I'm with Cersei Lannister.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you know, we were actually, my coworker and I were today, we're trying to figure out what Game of Thrones character the Tigers were, and I was kind of thinking Barristan Selmy, like the formerly great all-timer that everyone remembers, but who is now just sort of like, he can just be like a sacrifice to save others.
You're trying to figure out, like, who the team is
in yeah.
total.
Yeah, which team is the character. We were real busy at work today, as you can tell.
that's interesting, because I know last year we did, a Who Would the Tigers Be On Game of Thrones post.
Oh, yeah, the individual Tigers, yeah.
Yeah, we went through that, because I guess that was when they had announced the Game of Thrones night would be coming. So, yeah, we've definitely done a player-by-player analysis, but it's hard to factor in who they would be this season.
Yeah, somebody minor.
Yeah, and somebody who does not get a lot of screen time.
Somebody in very bad shape. I don't know, maybe Star Wars is more relevant right now, so maybe we were totally off base, I don't know.
Well, yeah, get back to me and let me know.
Okay.
Explain it to me in Star Wars.
In Star Wars terms, I'm probably not the best to do that either. People were spoiling me the other day with, Boba Fett lives, man. I was all like, oh, I didn't need to know that. Thought the Sarlacc ate him, dude. I was 10 when that happened. Didn't change all this on me. Yeah, so there was, you know, here we are, winter meetings, and as there always are, even for a team as kind of forlorn as the Tigers are right now, there was plenty of news. Most of it today revolved around Michael Fulmer, who apparently the Yankees are at least interested in, were inquiring about. It sounded like the Rangers were too, although the Rangers, I just can't imagine, could possibly put together a package we'd be interested in. But the Yankees can. The Yankees have plenty of interesting prospects we'd be interested in.
Yeah, the Yankees have a lot going for them. And initially today, I was really uneasy about the idea of even talking Fulmer trade, as I have been for months, where every time it comes up, I'm like, y'all are idiots. Just let's not even go there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? The more I think about it, the more... Like, I hated the concept of, like, trade a Fulmer to get 3 possible Fulmers.
Yeah.
But, like, honestly, it's never going to happen, but if the Yankees decide to go all in and, like, they really want to go for this year, which seems to be what they're doing by picking up Stanton and they're trading off some guys, clearing room, if they want to add Fulmer and they're going to give us guys like, you know, Gleyber Torres and Clint Frazier and a couple other dudes... And we throw Kinsler in the deal and give them a 2B that they can count on, I don't hate it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's about it. Like, I don't hate that. I mean, I've basically felt the same way you do in that we're not, you know, we don't have any pressure on us to trade Michael Fulmer. You know, Michael Fulmer could get better than we've already seen. He's only 24. And so if someone wants him, they have to pay for what we think he can be, which is, you know, pretty much... a borderline ace caliber pitcher, and a guy that you'll have control of for 5 years. So, I mean, I've kind of felt like, yeah, I don't really want to trade Michael Fulmer either. You know, people will kind of say, oh, well, he's not going to be around for the rebuild anyway. Well, you don't know that. We could extend him. You never know.
Guys are good in, you know, we're not going to do that for the next 2 seasons, but year 3, 2020, there's a chance.
Yeah.
Like, depending on how things shape up, depending on the prospects that we get in other trades. I don't see why 2020 is impossible.
Yeah.
And having Fulmer still around and still under control for that, why wouldn't you take that? Like,
yeah, there's your guy. Yeah, there's your ace. There's the top of the rotation guy, and you hope that one of Norris or Boyd figures it out. And you know, you've got four really good pitching prospects and a couple others who are borderline good and could work out for you. You know, they could have themselves a pretty good homegrown rotation in 3-4 years. And so, yeah, I don't feel that pressure. Like we have to consider moving him. It's Gleyber Torres is really the key thing. And that's why, you know, that's the only reason I would even really entertain it. Getting a whole bunch of good, like, corner outfield prospects doesn't interest me. You can trade for those guys. You can sign free agents. Those positions don't matter so much. But, yeah, if you can get the shortstop of the future who's going to hit, which, unfortunately, Jose Iglesias never has, then you've got my interest there. But without Torres, you know, I'm not interested. And from my perspective, like, the Yankees, they don't need Michael Fulmer, but Michael Fulmer fits them so well. I mean, he is a ground ball getting home run preventing son of a bitch, and he'd fit in perfectly in that little tiny ballpark. Like that's the guy they need. It's like Masahiro Tanaka on steroids, but not steroids. So,
but like, I don't see them anteing up Torres, and I think that's going to be the big thing. Like, Al Avila's got this stupid thing he's been saying at meetings where it's like, well, you might really like your house, and like your neighbor might keep asking you to sell your house, and you say, no, my house isn't for sale, but you know, if your neighbor asks you a dozen times, maybe you start to consider selling. And it's such a stupid analogy because you only sell that house, like Cam, one of our writers, said, you only sell that house if they're offering you a shitload of money.
Right.
And in this case, money isn't the concern. It's the prospect return. And I don't see the Yankees giving up what the Tigers would want for that. And I think, honestly, the only way they go is if Torres is included.
Yeah. I mean, I think Al Avila meant to say that if they come back and keep offering you more and more, but he's not good at metaphors or analogies and should probably just stop using them because people are already annoyed at him enough.
He's kind of really bad at talking to the press in general.
Yeah, it doesn't go so well a lot of the time.
He needs to not, I think, a little bit. I think he needs to just be like, we're working on stuff, we'll let you know.
Yeah, you know, Al has that, like, friendly personality, too. I can see him just getting into these situations where he's just like, eh, he's just kind of talking it up, and then, yeah, we're all just sitting here like,
Because he keeps saying, well, maybe it'll happen this week, maybe it won't, and, like, maybe it'll happen this week, and maybe it won't. And all people are offering us stuff, but we're just listening, but hey, this Yankees package is really interesting. And it's like, I would love to play poker with Al Avila because he just has no fucking poker face. Like, everything is just there. It's, whatever's happening, he'll tell you, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, and there's, like, you know, super chatty about things maybe he shouldn't talk about, but then, you know, less forthcoming about things we're actually, like, kind of grilling them a little bit about, like the Derek Norris thing. It's like, you don't get to pick and choose, like, when you're open and forthright with everyone and chatting it up, because we're going to come right after you. I mean, I don't really care that, you know, he said that he wants to trade Ian Kinsler this week. Everyone, you know, you can say, like, all right, that's not showing a good poker face, but everyone knows this. You know, no people, other teams aren't stupid. They know the situation we're in. Everyone knows Ian Kinsler has to be traded, basically, because he's not going to be around after next year. And that's just the situation. You know, you're not going to trick anybody, I don't think. You know, everybody who's kind of mad about the JD Martinez thing still, you know, thinks he didn't play his hand that well there. And it's like, everybody knows you have to deal the guy. So you can sit there and wait till the last moment. And maybe that would have helped. But, you know, at the same time, sometimes it's better just to start the conversation. He doesn't have to do anything. And at least maybe that gets everyone who's potentially thinking they need a second baseman or even a third baseman thinking, like, here's a good, you know, short-term option. Ian Kinsler's going to come in, be the gritty veteran leader guy, and, you know, he's not going to cost you a lot of money, and you know kind of what you're going to get from him. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, it just kind of is what it is. You know, you're not going to get a ton for Ian Kinsler anyway, so hopefully they can find some way to get a decent prospect or two out of someone, and then I would really love it if they would squeeze some international bonus pool money out of somebody. Like, we haven't done that yet, that it's really too bad.
It hasn't seemed to be a priority for the Tigers in previous trades, and I really think that is something they want to look at, especially going forward. If you want to, like, really milk the market for some top quality prospects, they haven't done a lot of focusing on the international market in previous years, and I think that it would behoove them to start doing that more.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they didn't know that the Braves were going to have all these prospects stripped from them, but it would be a real nice time to have an extra, 1.5 million sitting around in your pool that you could use. So even if, even if you're not getting what you want in a deal, if you could just, hey, all right, but you've got to throw in 250K of your bonus pool. If you do that a couple times, there you go. Hopefully you can buy yourself, a good young international prospect that way. So hopefully that's something that, yes, the Tigers will begin to focus on. We haven't had, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot else as far as like what the Tigers are thinking in terms of who they're going to get. Drew Smyly signed a 2-year deal with the Cubs, so that idea is blown out of the water, which
Yeah, we
I'm
talked about
sad
that last
about.
week.
Yeah, I'm a little sad about that one.
Well, me too, because now we've missed Pfister, we've missed Smiley, so we're pretty much SOL for getting anybody back that we've had before,
Yeah.
unless my Phil Koch dreams come true. I don't want anybody tweeting to me, listening to this, thinking I'm serious.
I know. Hey, hey, folks! Anibal Sanchez is still out there and available. We could pick Anibal up and give it another whirl.
Well, if we really wanted, we could also get Pelfrey back, and I'll just
Yeah,
slit my wrist.
dear Lord, I know. The one rumor of guys of a guy they were looking at today was Derek Holland, who, I mean, whatever. That wouldn't be like the worst thing in the world to sign Derek Holland to a cheap deal and just kind of see how it goes, but. I mean, I would honestly prefer Anibal Sanchez if it wasn't for the baggage and everything. Derek Holland doesn't strike anybody out. It's sort of like you're going to put another guy in your major league roster who doesn't have options that you can't send to the minor leagues, and it's just kind of clogging the works up. I don't really know if there's much point to doing that.
Yeah, I don't know what they're, but apparently they are still on the hunt for a starting pitcher. So I guess we'll see where that ends up when things wrap up this weekend.
Yeah.
If they get somebody or if they wait. I mean, I still think Tillman, has Tillman signed anywhere yet?
No, Tillman is still available, and that was the first guy they were linked to.
And I mean, Tillman was right up there, and we'll talk about Mike Fiers. He was right up there, neck and neck with one of the guys they were looking for, along with Yoshihari.
Oh yeah.
As a closer, whose name? Oh my God, I'm so terrible. I can't remember his last name.
I'm not even going to try without seeing it in front of me.
I'm looking it up. Hold on.
Okay. But yeah, he was Japan's closer, or at least a late inning reliever in the World Baseball Classic. Kind of a not a hard thrower at all, but kind of a rising fastball, forkball guy. Pretty good forkball. Looked like it had a lot of deception off the fastball. So, and typically, Japanese relievers have really good command. You never know. That could be somebody. It would at least be something interesting to get the Tigers looking into the market for Japanese players.
Yoshihisa Hirano.
Hirano. Ah, yeah.
Which is for the Oryx Buffaloes or something like that in Japan. Ah, I got that right. Oryx Buffaloes.
Oh, the Oryx Buffalo, yeah, right.
He's actually pretty quality. Like, his ERA overall is a 3.10. But I mean, like, let's not count saves for anything, but he does have 156 career saves, 29 last season. And he had like a sub-1 whip in 2016,
Yeah, doesn't walk people too much, yeah.
no, it's pretty good. Like, his strikeouts per nine last season were 7.4, 8.4 the season before. Like, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, anyway, I don't think he would cost, I was reading somewhere that it wouldn't cost bonus pool money or something like that. He's like
yeah he's
got his
30
free agent, so
yeah I think he's 31 or
33.
2. Okay, yeah, so it would just be the straight deal, I think.
Yeah, so I mean, that's an interesting, he's never played for an American team before, but like, that's an interesting, and the Tigers were in on Shohei Ohtani. Like, they did do their due diligence, they pitched him. I mean, I don't know how far along they got, because we're not East Coast, but we're not West Coast by any means.
Yeah.
So I doubt they were any even in the top 10, but at least we know that they've had interest in a Japanese player, so they've like looked into that sort of thing, and this could be a pretty interesting opportunity for them.
yeah and I know the Tigers have tr you know are trying to scout more in Asia in general. They've done more in Australia as well, the past few years and try to get in there. So you never know. At least the idea that they had somebody that they're interested in is somewhat encouraging. And sometimes you bring a guy like that in and he just doesn't really have the stuff. But when you bring him in and no one's seen him, you know, there's a good chance he could get off to a good start here and possibly be traded. I don't know. Maybe that would be something that, you know, if I was a Japanese player though and coming over, I would probably want a no trade clause.
Yeah, being his the top priority. Like, I think you're right. I think if you're moving to the States, you kind of want to stay put for at least a year.
Yeah.
But I think Tillman could be interesting, too. Like, I don't see why they wouldn't. I think you could get him pretty much the same price with Spears. Fires.
I believe it's Fires. I hope it's Fires.
Because we keep making Fire sale jokes.
Yeah, please be Fires. Come on, baby, start my fire.
I have to change. We didn't start the fires, but we will be starting the fire. I'm so sorry, Billy Joel.
I know. At least, you know, at least he would provide some headline assistance. I would appreciate that.
Yeah, there's a lot of puns that we can have. I'm looking forward to, like, as long as it's not, like, a dumpster fires joke. Because, like, let's just hope.
Yeah, you know there will be some, though, for sure.
I'm ready for next season.
So the Tigers did, you know, they did make one move since we were last on, and they did sign Mike Fears to a 1-year deal with the extra year attached, I believe. And, you know, that's actually a pretty good move. I did write about that one. I liked that because I didn't actually think that he'd be particularly interested. I didn't really kind of have him on my radar as a guy who would even come here. But I did forget that the Chris Bosio connection exists because the two of them work together in Milwaukee. And yeah, I don't know. I usually do remember these things. I know the pitching coaches, you know, I'm a giant geek for the pitching. So, so somehow I whiffed on that one, but you know, he's a guy who, you know, could come over here. He really, his strikeout to walk ratios have been pretty consistently good his whole career. He should be able to give you 150 plus innings. And the thing that's been killing him is a lot like Anibal Sanchez, is he's just kind of just falling apart as the home run surge has happened. And he just gave up a ton of dingers last year. So
yeah, it was a very Sanchez decline. Like, I noticed that when I did the original write-up on the Tigers looking at him. And it was a career high home run year for him last year, giving them up. So, but I mean, it's not something we're not used to.
Yeah.
So I think maybe being in a different stadium might help him. And I guess we'll just have to see.
Yeah. And I mean, he's an interesting candidate because the Astros kind of tried to change him into, you know, they kind of lowered his arm slot. He had always kind of thrown really over the top, and they were trying to get more kind of fade on his fastball. And then they actually started having him throw a sinker more this year, and none of that seemed to work. So it's possible, you know, a reunion with Chris Bosio and maybe going back to his old mechanics could spark a little resurgence for him and make him worth someone's while at the deadline. At least, yeah, you know, a decent shot of rebuilding his value. So I thought that was a pretty good get. He was actually a better candidate than I thought we were going to be able to land. So I was pretty pleased with that one. And we'll see if Mr. Bosio can fix him up.
Yeah, I'm interested because, like you said, we got a new pitching coach, and it's going to be, I mean, I don't think we're going to have a winning season, but I think it'll be interesting to watch what happens with some of these guys.
Yeah. I don't think it's impossible, you know, like if, again, I've been saying this for 2 years, but, you know, if Daniel Norris can figure it out and stay healthy,
yes.
You've got him, you've got Fulmer, you know, you've got Fares. Maybe Zimmerman is halfway useful. You might have yourself a halfway decent pitching staff, so this team isn't just an embarrassment to go watch next year.
Yeah.
Because I went to, like, 4 games down the stretch this year, and they were a damn embarrassment. It was brutal. So. Yeah,
and I don't want to see it be clown shoes all season next year. Like, whether or not it's going to be a plus 500 team isn't the point. Like, I just want to see a team that I love still be watchable sometimes.
Yeah. Yep, and if they have to, you know, and if it's something like last year where they're, like, watchable until the trade deadline, and then they trade a couple guys to get pieces and then kind of fall apart down the stretch and finish, you know, third or fourth to last, that's fine, and we get the pick. But I'm the same way. I don't want them to just go out there and, like, spend no money and tank. And I don't think they're quite going to do that. But they're also not going to do what I think a lot of us wish they would do, which is actually spend a little bit of money on short-term deals and be a little bit more aggressive. Doesn't seem like that's in the cards right now. And we're going to have to see what Chris Ilitch is like as an owner once things start to turn around. So far, there's already some serious annoyance from certain people, at least, especially.
Yeah, we'll see. Like, this is a tough year to determine that, right? Like, it's such a bomb of a year anyway that I don't think we can use it as a gauge for whether or not they'll spend going forward.
Yeah.
So I feel like they're going to do the bare minimum this year to make a functional team. And that's about all we can hope for.
Yeah, I mean, one way or the other, you've got to give the guys that we have time to play, time to see what they've got. You've got to give the guys in the minor leagues already, the better prospects, their time to grow and not go into kind of a rush mode with those guys or rush into trying to turn this thing around in a year and doing a bunch of stupid trades and winding up, you know, spinning your tires for another, you know, 3 or 4 years before things even start to rebuild. So it's going to take patience. The thing about the Gleyber Torres deal is that the one thing the Tigers really lack in the farm still is like a future shortstop second baseman who looks like he's going to be a top tier hitter. So that's the one thing I would like them to continue to try to find somewhere, even if it's, you know, like a young guy who hasn't really figured it out in the majors. Maybe there's a deal like that out there for someone. You know, a buddy of mine, Mark Garage, has mentioned Trevor Story a few times. I don't know what it would take to get him, but he's kind of a windmill who strikes out a ton, but he does have power and play good defense. You know, that might be something they could try to do. But yeah, at some point they've got to try to fill those middle infield positions, because everything else, you know, outfielders, you know, you can trade for some of that stuff. You can trade for a third baseman, you can trade for relievers, but pretty hard to get anybody to give you a Carlos Correa type player. Those just don't happen every day. So hopefully someone like that is available in the draft as well, but we'll see. The other huge news, really, in Tigerdom this week was Alan Trammell and Jack Morris, the Modern Era committee, finally put both of them into the Hall of Fame, which was awesome. I was almost surprised at how excited and happy I was about that.
Yeah, it was a nice, like, it was a nice 84 victory there. Like, it felt really good. I didn't know that I was expecting Morris to make it, but it almost feels like they gave them the nod together just because of that. Like, that connection. So, I mean, I don't think they'll like they put Morris in just because he was on the same team as Trammell, but you know,
there was a symmetry. Yeah,
it's a nice. I think almost seeing their names together on a ballot makes you feel like to vote for one, you'd have to vote for the other.
Yeah.
Just unfortunate that Lou Whitaker was not also on that ballot.
Yeah, that would have been the perfect symmetry there, but.
So then the Tigers also announced that in August they'll be retiring Morris and Tram's numbers, which of course would include Ian Kinsler's number 3, which won't probably be an issue because he probably won't be here.
Yep.
But what do you think? Do you think they should retire Tram's, not Tram's, but Whitaker's number at the same time, even though he's not in the Hall?
Yeah, I would love to see them do that. I remember Dan Petrie, who was kind of like the number 2 starter on the 84 teams. I believe it was him saying that the fact that the Tigers had never retired their numbers or really celebrated, you know, Morris and Trammell or Whitaker all that thoroughly, apart from like the, you know, anniversary of 84 celebrations, kind of made it tough because if your team doesn't sort of put you on that pedestal, that, you know, in national terms, the perception of you might be a little bit altered by that, you know, if they've never boosted you. And the Ilitches kind of have a long track record of having a weird relationship with the Tom Monahan Tigers. And so, yeah, I would really like to see them do that. Really like to see them kind of stand up and say, you know, listen, Lou Whitaker is probably the best Hall of Fame candidate of these three guys. And you already put two of them in. So you've got 2019 to work this out and make the right thing happen here.
Yeah, I think it's pretty goofy that I think, honestly, it's insane to retire Trams and not do Lou's at the same time.
Yeah.
That's just, the Tigers have it beyond what's going on with the Hall of Fame votes. They have that power to just be like, you know what, number 1's going in with number 3. And I don't know why they're already going to have a ceremony. You don't, like, is there concern that it takes away from what Tram and Morris did because they got elected and it's a celebration of them? Because I'm fairly certain if anybody asked Tram and Morris, they'd be like, hell yes, please invite Lou to this ceremony.
Yeah. Guaranteed Alan Trammell would feel that way. And I'm pretty sure Jack Morris feels that way as well. So I don't think they'd have any problem with it. I don't know. You know, we've talked a little bit about the Tigers' need for, you know, some publicity and some reasons to get people out to the stadium. So if they wanted to do those on separate occasions or something, just to lure more people down to the ballpark, whatever, whatever it takes.
Yeah, do a fucking Lou Whitaker bobblehead night.
Yeah.
And retire his number at the same time.
Yep. Because if, you know, if someday they put a statue of Alan Trammell in the out, you know, out beyond the center field walls, and he's, you know, flipping a ball somewhere, and Lou Whitaker isn't the guy, the statue catching it, like, that's just a crime. That's a crime against the entire Tigers fan base. So, yeah, you know, it's just, it's really hard to separate those two, and I would really, really like it if Chris Illich kind of did what his dad didn't do and would promote the heck out of Lou Whitaker and make sure he gets in there. Because, yeah, the Tigers could do quite a bit about that if they wanted to.
Yeah, for him to get dropped off the original Hall of Fame ballot after a year is absolutely criminal. And for the Tigers to ignore him up to this point, basically, is just, it's totally, it just flies in the face of everything that 84 team did and everything that Whitaker and Trammell accomplished together.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, and that question will never leave Alan Trammell anywhere he goes, because, you know, he's brought it up so many times that that's always been his dream, is that the two of them would go in together. And he said it again the other day. What was really surprising, what's funny about seeing the two of them, like, kind of do this junket together and go, is that Jack Morris, who was, you know, one of the surliest, you know, cats of the 80s, as far as like a guy who was awful to the media, particularly Jennifer Fry, if we want to get into that. But, you know, has really, really changed. It sounded like, I was talking to Maya, who runs the Minnesota Twins site, and she was talking about the influence Harmon Killebrew had over Jack Morris once he kind of went to Minnesota, and the time that they'd spent afterward, and how Harmon Killebrew had really chilled him out and kind of allowed him to, like, let his soft side show and not have to pretend to be this, like, you know, ferocious aggro guy. Yeah. And that's on display now, because, you know, the dude is just waterworks everywhere he goes. You know,
oh, yeah.
Trammell sitting up there with a grin on his face.
Like, talking about how he had to call his wife immediately. He couldn't even wait the 15 minutes until the announcement went out, you know.
Yeah, and how thankful he is that it took all this time, because, you know, he wouldn't have appreciated it if they'd elected him, you know, sooner, because, you know, he was still arrogant about it and hadn't really kind of gone through and thought about his career in the terms other people do and all this, so... Yeah, it's been kind of fun seeing the two of them together.
Yeah, it's been neat. It's been emotional and kind of sweet.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's still funny to me, too, because, you know, Alan Trammell was on a plane with, like, Bruce Bochy and Brad Ausmus, you know, and there's that picture of them all together, you know. It's just like, oh, this is weird, you know. You just forget, I think, sometimes, like, what an insular kind of community baseball, and especially pro baseball, is, and how these guys are all traveling together and talking, and they know each other, and they're recommending each other for different jobs and all this kind of stuff. But that was kind of like a clear indication, all those dudes together headed to the winter meetings.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's just a weird thing about, you know, baseball used to be kind of the sport everyone played. And unfortunately, it has become kind of a country club sport, unfortunately, in America. And that's why you see, like, a lot of players, you know, player sons turn out to be good because they're getting the best instruction and those kind of things. But there's also that flip side to it, which is that, yeah, there is sort of a family to it all as well. Kind of an element. Yep, so Tram and Jack will get in. I understand, you know, people are upset about Jack Morris getting in because of his numbers and stuff like that. And I understand, you know, if you look through his numbers and kind of break them down from a modern sabermetric perspective, you know, Jack Morris probably doesn't really belong in the Hall of Fame. But, you know, times were different back then. Those guys weren't pitching to earn the stats that we think are most important today, or that we know are more important than the way they thought about it. And, you know, it seems to me like, you know, just about everybody from Jack Morris's era really kind of regards him as a Hall of Famer, and whatever, that's good enough for me. I'm happy. That's fine.
Yeah. And I mean, he missed the regular ballot. This isn't like, this is the modern era ballot. It's not the traditional Hall of Fame. And I think people need to give it a little bit more. I think it's almost viewed through more of a romantic lens of people wanting to give these guys a second shot.
Yeah.
And I'd say the Tram deserves to be in on the original Hall of Fame vote, but I mean,
yeah,
it
for sure.
Didn't happen, and it didn't happen after a very long number of years. So I think this is just their way of being able to correct the mistakes they think they see as being made on the regular Hall of Fame ballot.
Yeah, so. Kind of let you look, you know, have like the guys who were their contemporaries kind of look through it. I mean, the guys who did the voting by and large were players and coaches and stuff from that same time period. So, yeah. You know, if they always looked at Jack Morris as a terrifying ace that they all were afraid to face, well, that's fine. You can put him in. No problem. Yeah, so, yeah, Trahan and Morris get in. There isn't a whole lot of other Tiger news, but there is still plenty of other news because the winter meetings are going on and there's just been rumors flying left and right. Seems like all the relievers are getting signed.
Brandon Morrow went to the Cubs.
Yeah, Pat Neshek, I think, went to the Phillies.
Back to the Phillies, yeah. There's a lot going on. Like, yeah, the Cubs also signed Smiley. They've been rumored to be after Alex Cobb. So they're really looking, they're obviously not thinking of re-signing Arrieta, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
It's too much cost to that, and I can see why they're going and seeking outside pitchers to fill in the blanks there.
Yeah, and Jake Arrieta is just such a, you know, he kind of came out of the blue, and, you know, it's still, it's just, I don't know, it's just hard for me to trust Jake Arrieta long-term, and, you know, he's out there floating, you know, a $200 million deal that he wants and stuff. Everybody, you know, everybody's floating whatever deal they want, and obviously he's not going to get that, but I just do not view Jake Arrieta that way. He's a, you know, very good pitcher the last couple years, but I have a hard time trusting with him already throwing like 90-91 that he's going to hold up for a couple more years and still be a dominant pitcher.
It is the Boras client that he sent binders out about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I loved that today coming out, that apparently Scott Boras, agent extraordinaire, man who netted Max Scherzer his insane contract with the Nationals, has put together like a 70-plus page binder detailing all of the like pros and positives of signing Jake Arrieta.
Wow.
He has like sent this around to ownership of all these teams. So he's really trying to like grease the wheels for a big deal for Arrieta.
Oh man. Yeah, I mean Scott Boras, you know, this is his time right now. You know, he's like some kind of harbinger of Christmas a little bit, but for players.
Yeah, right. He's like, Merry Christmas, I'm gonna get you so much money.
Yep. There's a lot of there seems to be an awful lot of like binder on paper presentations being given out left and right, because we were talking about this before we got on that the Reds kind of released their whole presentation that they made to Shohei Ohtani, which was, you know, as I read through it, you know, kind of sad because it just seemed like it was so earnest and, you know, they were trying so hard to impress him and be the team, and they were never the team. They were never going to be the team. You know, they got like Joey Votto, you know, kind of hamming it up and trying to speak for the team. And yeah, it's odd to me to think of all these teams like having to put together all these presentations. It's nice, I think, almost in a way to like see them kind of have to be the pursuer and have to sell themselves rather than the player always having to be the one to do that.
Yeah.
And I liked where you went with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I had an idea, and I think that this idea is something teams should pick up. So it's free to use, front offices. I think these teams should use these pitches that they made to Ohtani and kind of tweak them ever so slightly and use them as a marketing tool to lure in new fans or to reaffirm themselves to existing fans. Because basically they were just trying to sell themselves as like the place to go. So I want to see all those videos. I want to know, why should I be a Phillies fan? Why should I be a Reds fan? Why should I be any of these things? Because I would like to know what their big selling points are. I think it's an interesting exercise.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, there's a lot of insight to gain, I think, from seeing how a team looks at itself, how it would sell like its city, you know, kind of the cultural opportunities and, you know, whatever, the restaurants, the nightlife, all those sorts of things, the schools. You know, you're putting together such a comprehensive package that, you know, you can't help but kind of reveal the heart of your franchise and how you see your place there.
Team up with like local tourism and just push that. Like, are you coming to see the Tigers play? Here's all the things that you may not know about Detroit.
Here's all the reasons that beyond the team to actually interest you to come in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Detroit has a ton to offer, so I think they could benefit from it in a huge way.
Yeah.
Like, they're going through this amazing renaissance that I don't think anybody knows about. I think Detroit's still the butt of so many jokes, and I don't think that they deserve to be at this point, given everything that that's the city's going through.
Yeah, I mean, it's unrecognizable downtown. It's just been such a ridiculously incredible and kind of comprehensive renovation over the past, you know, 7, 8, 9 years. You know, it's it's recognizable down there, but the feeling down there is so different. And it's also, and it still retains that sort of like Detroit edge. There is still a little bit of an edge if you get away from like the pure tourist areas. And obviously in a lot of the neighborhoods, things haven't changed at all. Which is another, a whole nother issue, the gentrification that's gone on and stuff, and is probably just inevitable at this point. But there's quite a bit to like about Detroit, yeah, at this point. I could see for an outside player. But I'm always, you know, I'm always interested in the front offices and you know, kind of what goes on and how they promote themselves, and just kind of what they, you know, what they would say their vision is for the future and stuff. So yeah, I think that could be really interesting. One of the things I really kind of wanted the Tigers to do when they were interviewing all these managerial candidates was kind of take that opportunity to sort of, you know, get themselves a wide sample from inside all these other front offices, like, you know, all these people who've coached for the Dodgers or, you know, wherever, and bring them all in and kind of like, you know, tell us something, you know, that you're going to do here that we've never seen before, you know, wow us. And, you know, there's an information gathering aspect to anything like that, any kind of job search or managerial search in that case. And
I think the whole thing is fascinating.
Yeah, me too, because, you know, they try to be secretive, and, you know, I think sometimes to the average fan, like, it seems like there must be that so much that goes on behind the scenes and there's all this knowledge, and then other times they can be so kind of transparently obvious and petty even in a lot of cases, and you know, you just kind of wonder like what goes on there, you know.
The Marlins.
Yeah, the Marlins. Jeter, jump throw. Goes wide at first base into the crowd. Yeah, that's been a fiasco down there.
Oh my god, the Marlins it's like Jeter is trying to out Loria somehow. And I know it's a management group, and I know we put it all on Jeter because he's like the famous face.
Yeah.
The purchasing interest in the Marlins, but like
they're putting it at him, so why not?
He has done so far has led me to believe that he's like an innocent participant in the douchebaggery that's going on down there.
Yeah,
like the like you will talk to Stanton when there's anything to say. Like the way it sounds like they treated that trade, and the way Stanton responded after moving to the Yankees, basically calling the situation a circus,
yeah,
and like unprofessional. And I don't think that's entirely directed at Loria. I think that there's got to be a lot of that that's falling on the new group too, because I mean, he signed a giant contract under Loria, and now you've got this new team in there going, well, fuck it, let's get rid of this guy.
Yeah.
If he doesn't want to leave, we'll get rid of everybody else.
Yeah. And you know, and then, you know, just kind of from the fundamentals, like, you buy this team, and then the very first thing, you know, that comes out is that they can't afford this team. They've got to, you know, they've got to slash payroll. They've got to start paying back the loans that they got. It's like, why did you, you know, what are you doing? Like, what kind of business person like pays?
In the first place.
Exactly. You know, there were other, you know, there are plenty of other actually people who are interested in owning a Major League Baseball franchise. I mean, it's a freaking printing press for money. Like, you can't lose.
Jeter caused them to be like, oh, okay, let's give it to these guys.
Yeah.
Because I think ultimately it's proven that it might not have been a great choice.
And yeah, and then you also, you know, just in the reporting that came out and some of the contradictory stuff that came out, you could just so easily tell who was calling who and pushing their side of the story. I mean, when reports are coming out that, you know, Giancarlo Stanton, like, they gave Giancarlo Stanton an ultimatum, like, take this deal or you're going to be a Marlin for life, which is a hilarious thing to threaten someone with in the first place. But second of all, he has opt-outs. Like, do you not even, like, who in this equation doesn't understand Giancarlo Stanton's, you know, like, the basics of his contract? Like, I don't understand what's going on.
Apparently somebody who has forgotten what it looks like to read a baseball contract.
I don't know. I don't know if it's sometimes if it's the reporting or if it's, you know, if it's PR people for the Marlins, like, trying to put these things out surreptitiously, or if the front office now is just really, really that dumb. I don't know.
It's a mystery.
Yeah.
It's hilarious in a way, because it's not, like, as much as we can point and laugh at our own front office, at least it's not ours.
I know. Thank you. Thank you, Marlins and Mets, for being even more shamefully inept than the Tigers have ever been. At least since the Randy Smith days. I appreciate it. We need that right now. So, yeah, just a hearty ha-ha to the Marlins.
For now.
For now.
They they may be laughing at us.
I know. And really, I don't want to laugh at them because honestly, I feel bad for that fan base, man. I mean, like the Jose Fernandez thing, like they've just, they've been through too much. It's just a circus down there. And how about we just move those guys back to Montreal and start up the Expos again?
Let's move them back. I, as a Canadian, heartily approve.
Yeah, I would love to see that. That'd be great. But from Giancarlo Stanton's perspective, he has escaped the hot and humid clutches of the Miami Marlins and fled to the Big Apple, where he will now, you know, form like the most, you know, powerful battery of sluggers the game has maybe ever seen, with Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez in there. And that's, you know, nobody likes seeing the Yankees be good again, but it somehow, but it somehow feels so right that they're the evil empire, you know, as everyone's been kind of referring to this week, you know, like the memes coming out with Giancarlo Stanton, his head on Darth Vader's shoulders, walking through the command ship. Like, it's just, it's glorious. Like, you know, I mean, you better have some helmets in that stadium too. I swear to God, there's going to be some 120 mile per hour rockets just flying at people all over the place in there.
Yeah, I think the first day you see, like, there, it's going to happen. There'll be like a back to back to back home run day. Like, I mean, we've seen it happen at Tiger Stadium. So, I mean, there's no reason it won't happen in New Yankee Stadium. But man, it's just going to be all you see is just this clip show back to back to back home runs.
Yep.
And it's going to be majestic, and I'll hate it.
I know. If there's, you know, if anyone's ever gonna force a net to be put up in the outfield, it's gonna be those guys too. You know, we've been on about the Nets, you know, protecting the fans behind home plate. They might need them out there too, because man, Stanton hit some lasers. Those things are not lofted and they are not coming down soft.
Yeah, it'll be fun for the Yankees fans.
Yeah, it's good.
Fun for anybody watching who is not a Yankees fan.
Yeah, I mean, if we were going to be competitive, I would hate it. But as it stands, I kind of enjoy watching everyone kind of, you know, kind of shiver and wet themselves over in the AL East. You know, I'm sure Dave Dombrowski is just making, you know, frenzied phone calls left and right. There have already been rumors about Josh Donaldson and Manny Machado being traded from Baltimore and Toronto, as those teams kind of have to assess, like, do we have much of a shot with Boston and New York in this division at this point? Should we cash these chips in?
Like, the Rays aren't looking to add anything massive either. Maybe a little base speed. Probably there's a possibility of moving some pitching. But they know that they're not going to be number one in that division next year.
Yeah, probably not. Although, you know, you just never know, because the Rays can pitch, and they've always kind of known that. Like, if they can pitch, you know, you can kind of hang with anybody, and they do have a lot of good pitching. We'll have to see if they decide. I assume Alex Colome is probably going to get dealt, their closer.
Colome seems to be a foregone conclusion. Archer's on the block, but I don't see it happening unless it's for something really good. Because he's still under club control for a while, and I don't think moving him makes much sense if they're not going into a rebuild.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see. But like, they have a new pitching coach this year. We talked about that in episode one.
Yeah, the guy from Durham, was that right?
Yeah, Snyder from Durham.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. I think it'll be interesting because their pitching coach obviously has moved on to the Cubs. So yeah.
Yep.
The AL East, it's going to be a monster show.
It is. It's kind of going to be that, you know, 10-year throwback to the wars of the early aughts.
Uh-huh.
So that'll be interesting. I'm really interested to see how Dave Dombrowski responds to this, because Dave Dombrowski's response to almost everything is to turn to his owner and say, can I spend $25 million more per year? But they're, you know, they're pretty close to the salary cap. So if they decided to do that, you know, they're going to be paying the tax some more. And it seems like teams are really, really loath to pay the tax right now. But we'll just have to see. I mean, after all the farm pieces Dombrowski's traded away, you know, they still find themselves in need of a first baseman somehow and a power bat and probably another reliever, probably. But
apparently JD Martinez is at winter meetings right now, most likely to woo the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Just to be like, hey, guys, hey, have you considered JD Martinez? And, you know, flex the guns and get himself a nice big deal.
How would you guys feel about adding these beach balls to your stadium? Yeah. Maybe he can run some sprints, you know, like, you know, I'm going to be able to play right field.
Batting practice, so he's ready. He knows.
Yeah, that was nice. Just because, you know, the sound of JD Martinez crushing a dinger is a pretty special sound.
He's looking good, so it's nice to see that not much has changed and that he's in good shape to to kind of go big next season. And I want that for him, because we're not going to re-sign him to the Tigers. It would make no sense financially or for what the team is doing or for his career. So I want to see him go out there and get himself, you know, a 9-figure contract and just roll in the cash.
Yep, me too. You know, and if he stayed in Arizona, if they decided to pay up and kind of accept that Goldie's probably going to walk away a year from now, I could see that too, because, him and somehow he and a Diamondbacks uniform kind of look right. And the park definitely fit him, because it was just a tide of dingers the entire time he was there. So we'll see. Maybe they can escape Zach Greinke's contract and figure some other way.
An interesting news break. Jeff Passan just now, apparently Shohei Ohtani has damaged ulnar collateral ligament in his pitching elbow.
Oh no.
According to a physical obtained by Yahoo Sports.
Oh, are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you. That is enormous. And somewhere in Seattle, they're just going, whoo!
Oh.
Oh my God. I don't even know what that means.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, I've always wondered if Masahiro Tanaka, maybe somebody out there knows this, but, you know, he had the tear and he never had the surgery and just kind of rehabbed it. I wonder if that was the same situation where he kind of came over with it and has just sort of been able to work it out.
And I mean, he's obviously been pitching fine. And I think I read something earlier today that he'd undergone some sort of a preventative procedure recently. And so, I mean, there's nothing saying that couldn't be related to this, and it's already taking care of itself.
Yeah, they can do the platelet injections seem to have worked for some guys. Well, that's crazy, though.
Yeah, no, it seems, and I don't want to say it seems dishonest, but everything is physical pending anyway, always. So I'm interested in seeing how this develops.
Does he say if the deal has been signed yet, or can they still escape that, I wonder? Not that they would. I mean, it's so cheap, like, whatever, you know, take a year, come back.
It's not a huge, I think they were one of the minimum teams, so it's not like they paid out the ass for it, but it doesn't say, so I'm interested.
Yeah, that is interesting, because it kind of goes to, you know, whether or not, you know, if they don't have him, you know, like, there's a borderline chance they could make the playoffs. Like, I don't see them catching the Astros, but, you know, they could win a wild card. Maybe they trade for Kinsler.
Yeah, Kinsler makes good sense there. So, I mean, they could still make a good lineup for themselves without Ohtani, but I certainly don't think this means that he's done for the whole season. It's just that he has ligament damage.
Yeah. Yeah, and you might just kind of, you know, at a certain point, it's like, do you want to give him the year off, or do you just have him pitch until it breaks, you know, which is kind of rough medicine, but you kind of have to decide, like, the timing of it and everything. And of course, he could still hit, you know, he could hit, and, you know, maybe you pitch him a little less, and
we'll see. I want to ask Rob what this means.
Yeah, that's right. We need our doctor. We need Dr. Rob to...
Dr. Rob to tell us exactly what an ulnar collateral ligament damage situation means.
Yeah, I do. Well, you know, let's see. It does say November 28th, they reported, oh, well, you know, it's a first degree sprain of his UCL. So, you know, yeah, there's a tear, but.
Yeah, it could be.
It might not be that bad.
Like, I mean, so much damage gets done to pitchers, and they're all broken a little bit.
Yeah.
So, I guess we'll see if this shapes into anything, or if it's just like, cool it, guys. He just needs to have, like, a super minor procedure.
Yeah.
Like, we're still talking about trading Fulmer, and he just had elbow surgery, so.
Yeah, true. Although he didn't really have any damage, but yeah.
It's amazing what they can do, right?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we are at a point where, like, having Tommy John is just like, you know, it's like a year of vacation. Although the rehab is brutal. It's not a vacation for the player, but it's like, take a year and you figure they'll probably be back pretty close to good as new.
Exactly. So, I mean, some guys have had two Tommy John surgeries and still come back to play. I mean, ugh, your poor elbow.
Yeah.
But it can happen.
Yeah, anybody who's interested in that, I mean, I would really recommend reading Jeff Passan, who just put that report out for Yahoo Sports. But his book, The Arm, was really fascinating. And the story of Daniel Hudson, who pitched for the Diamondbacks and eventually converted to relief, but went through like consecutive Tommy John surgeries and, you know, the rehab and like, you know, hearing his wife talk about what it was like to go through that. I mean, it is really, really grueling, and it's become so routine that we kind of just kind of shake it off like, he'll be back in a year. But it is a tough thing to go through. And it kind of shows, because a lot of times a guy will go through, you know, the Tommy John rehab and come back kind of bigger and stronger and in better shape than he ever was before, because so much is required of you to get that thing back in 100%. So, oh, that's interesting though. Yeah. Like, the Shohei Ohtani stuff just doesn't end. Did you watch any of the press conference with him?
No, I didn't.
There wasn't. I watched a little bit of it. There wasn't really a whole lot to it. You know, he's kind of just saying what you'd expect at this point, which is probably the right move. Just chill out and let the bat and gloves arm speak for itself.
You don't want to hype yourself. I mean, he hyped himself enough to get all the teams vying for him. I think now the point is to lay low until you can prove yourself.
Yeah. Yep. That's the right thing to do. I mean, the shirts are out. I'm sure the gear is selling like crazy, but until we see you play for him, yeah, there's just not a whole lot else to say about it.
No.
Yep. Yeah, that is fascinating. I'm just so like kind of like stunned by that.
Yeah, it's not often we get to break news on a podcast, and it won't be new by tomorrow, but it's very interesting nonetheless.
Yeah, exactly. You're getting our live reactions, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, let's see. I'm just going to kind of run over to the site and see if there's anything else of note that should be talked about. I mean, you know, the Tigers are still talking about Kinsler, obviously. You know,
they talked about extending Nick Castellanos.
Yep, that's true, and which I have recommended in the past, but it sounds like he turned him down.
Yeah, he apparently decided to go year by year, which I think is kind of similar to what happened with Martinez. Like, they went to him with an offer, and he's like, no thanks. So I guess, I mean, yeah, I'm not going to talk about Nick Castellanos too much, because you're going to get super sick of my opinions of it. But I think if you could get him cheap and keep him under club control for a long time, it's smart. And I don't know how smart it is for him to have not taken it and wait things out, because I don't know that he's going to get much better is the issue.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's really an open question. Like, I think there's a really, really high chance that the bat gets a little better and he becomes like a 30 home run guy who hits 280, you know, kind of walks at like a league average level, like a very, very good hitter, not an elite hitter, but a very good one. But he may not have a position. And that's why I kind of wanted the Tigers to try and do this and see if you could get on him, you know, get him to sort of just sort of pass on making that bet on himself and make it ourselves. But yeah, if he wants to go year by year. I mean, Rob Rejacki, our site editor, if you're not familiar with Bless You Boys that much, he's been saying all along, like, this is probably too late. And that's probably the case. And it was probably the same for JD Martinez. Like, maybe, you know, kind of after 2014, when he'd kind of come out of nowhere, maybe if they'd offered him a long-term extension, then it could have worked out. But the payroll was just too big kind of to allow it at that point. Yeah. So
I think had they done it in 2014, I would have thought they were insane anyway.
Yeah.
Because, like, you're right, like, the bulk of the contracts that they were under at that point, you'd be like, are you fucking serious? You're adding more to this. And now, of course, in retrospect, it would have been the exact right one to sign. But what can you do?
Yeah, that's the thing. When you sign a good extension, it always seems a little bit like madness. Like, it kind of has to, because if it's obvious, the player would already know, okay, I'm going to be worth more than this. There's no way.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's different with pitchers because of the injury risk and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it just doesn't seem like that's real likely. The last thing, that we're not going to talk a whole lot about it, but just to mention that Thursday is going to be the Rule 5 draft. The Tigers will pick first. If they don't decide to pick up another starting pitcher, there's Jose Almonte and Cole Stewart, who I think was of the Pirates, who are both kind of fringy prospect type guys for a while and might be someone worth picking up. And at least that way you can kind of shuttle in between the minors and the majors. But there's also Nick Birdie, who I think most of us agree is a really hard throwing reliever with great stuff, who's going to be out for a good chunk of next year. And if we could pick him up, you can kind of stash him for part of the season. And at some point he does have to return to the major league roster. But that might be the move there. So that'll be kind of like the next thing to look forward to as far as who the Tigers pick up, as they've got the number one pick there. There's a couple interesting there's like a middle infield prospect. There's a couple good catching prospects, considering that they're Rule 5 guys and have been released or left unprotected by their team. So it's not going to be real exciting. But with the Tigers having the number one pick, it will be kind of interesting to see who they choose. And yeah, so there's that. And, you know, maybe Ian Kinsler will get traded this week. Maybe not. Maybe Al Avila will just continue to give endless interviews in which he kind of goes like, maybe we'll do this. Maybe we won't. I don't know. Just kind of
joke about it.
No, I'm so sorry.
I'm getting flashbacks to last winter meetings, like seriously hardcore, because it was the exact same thing. It was a lot of like, I'm going to talk about this, but I'm not going to really commit to anything.
Right.
And then nothing happened.
We've got to get younger and we've got to get cheaper, but maybe we won't. At least not right now.
Literally nothing.
Yeah.
And now that they are in rebuild mode, it's insane to me that they haven't made any moves yet. So get on that, Tigers.
Yeah, do it, Al Avila. And really, like, I don't have such a big problem with anything he said. It's everything he says. Like, you know, when your team is garbage and you're at the beginning of a rebuild, like, no one wants to hear from you. So just go do your job. And once you have a big win, then you can come back to us and tell us all about this awesome thing that you did at some point.
Be quiet and go fetch us some prospects.
Yep, exactly. Listen to Chris Bosio and let him pick out a pitcher somewhere that he thinks he can fix. Just do what he tells you. Yep. Yep. So that's about it for the week. I'm going, hopefully, to have a conversation with David Larilla of Fangraphs. He's down at the winter meetings right now, and I'm hoping he'll get a hold of me tomorrow, and we'll do a little recording for the site, basically just on what he's heard down there, the sights, the smells, the drunken escapades at the winter meetings, the enormous amount of men in polo shirts and khakis and sunglasses wandering around talking on their cell phones and bumping into each other like it's some kind of weird game of Plinko. We'll discuss these and other matters. Yeah. And so if we get a hold of him and we get that done, that'll probably be a short recording that will show up on the site probably Thursday. That's about it for this week. Pay attention to us on the site and check us out on Twitter, and we'll talk to you next week.